Scripture reading today is Philippians 1:9-11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Please be seated.
Good evening, church. It is great to be with you tonight, and I want to thank the elders and Brother Wayne for giving me this opportunity. Wayne is headed to Memphis, where over the next few days he's going to be recording a bunch of videos where he talks about different books of the Bible and answers different questions, and that's going to reach a really wide audience. So we want to be praying for him and for Cindy, and we certainly appreciate them and the work that they do here. Also wanted to give you a quick update on my family, if I may. My wife and I will be leaving after services tonight to head to Nashville, and my father, Lord willing, my father on Tuesday morning, we will be putting him into an assisted living facility, and this is something that we have been praying for, and I know you guys have been helping us in those prayers, and it really is an answer to prayer. So I just ask that you continue to pray for that situation and that all goes well on Tuesday and we're able to get him secure and in a facility. So thank you for that. In 1982, Tom Peters and Robert Waterman published a nonfiction book that would become a bestseller. It sold in the first 4 years about 3 million copies and continued to sell many copies after that. It wasn't a romance or a thriller. It wasn't a book about some sensational event. Rather, these two guys set out to answer a couple of questions. What are the best-run companies in America, and what makes them so? So they did a lot of research. They traveled about. They interviewed people, and they reached a lot of conclusions from their research, and there was a lot of interest in their work. They published several successful companies. The first one you might find a little interesting that they would list this one, but they started with McDonald's. They said it's usually clean, it has friendly people, the prices are reasonable, and the food is about the same across restaurants. Now, you may have an opinion on the qualitative content of that food, but at least it's consistent. They mentioned Walmart. They said Walmart had phenomenal growth, well-stocked shelves, helpful people, and good prices. And then they covered IBM, General Motors, Boeing, and several other companies. All of these were successful not just because they were profitable, but because they were focused on excellence. And they encouraged employees at every level to pursue excellence. And so the book was entitled In Search of Excellence. That book is now somewhat dated. It's been several years since it was published. And some of those companies that they profiled are not doing as well as they were at the time. But the idea of excellence really caught on. The idea was that we don't pursue mediocrity, we pursue excellence. You do the best that you can possibly do, and you be the best that you can possibly be. And you say, well, what does that book and what does the idea of pursuing excellence have to do with the worldwide body of Christ and the congregation here at Eastside? Well, I think God wants us to be the best that we can be, to do the best that we can do, and that is especially true in our spiritual lives. God wants us to excel. He wants us to excel individually as we seek to serve Him, and He wants us to excel as a congregation corporately as we seek to serve Him. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, this passage that Kevin just read, if you kind of think about that passage for a moment, we're going to put it up here on the slide, but I want you to kind of look that over again, and I want you to kind of get this idea that God wants us to be our best. He wants us to excel in our service. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. As is typical for Paul, he starts out and offers a prayer for his readers, and that was pretty common. He then lets us in on the theme for the book, what he's concerned about, what the greatest need is. And from the text, we see that there's basically three needs that he wants to focus on. First of all, love for one another. He says you got to be loving each other. Secondly, a knowledge of God's will. And third, that they may be pure and blameless, or you might say that they may live holy lives. But I want you to note his word choice. He says abound, and then he says more and more. Abound is not just having enough. Abound means you have more than enough. And so, for example, if I were to take a bucket and leave it under a running faucet and let it run for a while, eventually that bucket is going to fill up, and then it's going to overflow with water. It's going to abound with water. In fact, some translations, I think the New American Standard Bible, uses the phrase overflow still more and more. It's the idea of abundance. We also find that concept in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14. Of course, Jesus took just two loaves of bread and two fish, and it says the multitudes ate and were satisfied, but then there were 12 basketfuls left over, overflowing, more than enough. That's what we're talking about when we talk about abundance. When I think of abundance, I also think of God's blessings, the way He blesses us every day. God doesn't just give us enough, He gives us more than enough. His blessings overflow, they pour out. There's more than enough, they're overflowing. Along that lines, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So we are blessed abundantly so that we can then abound in every good work. We're blessed with all that we need, and then some. We have more than enough. This idea of abundance doesn't just apply to God and Jesus and our blessings. I think it also applies to individual Christians. We're called to excel at some things. A couple of examples. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul wanted the Christians at Corinth to give themselves fully to the work of the Lord, to excel in it, to abound in it. And then in 2 Corinthians 8:7, Paul encouraged them to excel in the grace of giving. Not to just give enough, but to give more than enough, to let their giving overflow in abundance. And then, of course, in this passage in Philippians chapter 1, we see that we are to excel in our love for one another, to overflow with knowledge so that you can live abundantly pure and holy lives. And as if abound wasn't a strong enough word to use, Paul adds more and more. You see, back then they didn't have bold. He didn't have a word processor where he could put that in italics or he could underline it. For emphasis, what they did is they repeated words. And so more and more means to an even greater degree. And I think that applies to our spiritual lives as individual Christians. I think it also applies to the life of our congregation here at Eastside. Being analogy Steve, let me illustrate this with a sports analogy. I love sports analogies. And I think there's so many examples of excellence in the arena of sports. So back on August 22nd, 1989, Nolan Ryan of the Texas Rangers became the first pitcher in Major League history to register 5,000 career strikeouts. And I remember that day quite well. I was a Nolan Ryan fan, enjoyed following his career, and that was a big day. It was a big athletic accomplishment. So there was an article at the time that described his accomplishment. I want to just kind of read you what the article said. It said, "Still going strong at age 42, still grunting on every pitch, 5 no-hitters, 11 one-hitters, 287 wins, 5,000 strikeouts. His strikeout victims list reads like a who's who of two generations of baseball. Roger Maris, Bo Jackson, Dick Schofield, Senior and Junior, 17 Hall of Famers, 42 MVPs, 10 sets of brothers, 6 father and son pairs, 13 guys named Davis, 10 Johnsons, everyone, he has struck out everyone from the letters A to Z except X, because there's never been an X. 1,061 different strikeout victims. Fastest there ever was, 101.8 miles per hour. Opposing hitters say it seems more like 105 miles per hour. Norm Cash once came to the plate carrying a giant leg from a wooden table. He told the ump, "I've got no chance with a bat." He struck out Hank Aaron 4 times. He struck out Reggie Jackson 22 times. And Reggie once commented, "Nolan Ryan was the only pitcher I was ever scared to face." Folks, that's excellence. But here's the part of the story I really like. In the article, it said, on that day, after the celebrations were over, after most people were cleared out of the clubhouse, newspapers reported that Ryan was still there on his exercise bike, getting in his time to keep his 42-year-old body in shape. That's excellence. That's abundance. That's not being satisfied with good enough. He didn't just do enough. He did more than enough. He excelled in what he attempted to do, and we admire him for his commitment to excelling. So now I want to try to apply that to our lives and to our efforts to serve God. We should never be satisfied with mediocrity. We should never be satisfied with just doing enough for the Lord. Let's do more than enough. Let's excel in our efforts to please and to serve God. If you look at the Philippian church, their problems were not on the magnitude of, say, the Corinthian church or the Galatian church. Some churches seem to have more problems than others. The church at Philippi, I think you could say, was a pretty good church. They had lesser problems than some others, and yet Paul said they could do better. He encouraged them to do better. He challenged them to do better, to excel, to abound to a greater degree than ever before. I spent a career in the Air Force, and I spent a childhood as an Air Force dependent. And so I have traveled a lot in my life. I've been to 48 different states, 27 foreign countries. Between the Air Force moves and sojourning and full-time RVing, I've worshipped at a lot of different congregations, well over 100. And I was trying to count up today. I think I'd probably come in well over 200 congregations that I've had the opportunity to worship at. And I've seen some examples of excellence in benevolence, in mission work, in community outreach, in youth programs or children's programs, in men's and women's ministries, in education, in senior saints ministries, in visitation, in new member involvement, in church camp, in vacation Bible school. Seen a lot of programs, seen a lot of excellence in those programs. I've seen world-class teacher resource rooms and libraries, and food pantries and clothes closets. Seen a lot of excellence as I've traveled around. I've been on mission trips where 40 members, 40 members of the congregation went. And for that congregation, that was 1 out of 7 people. 1 out of 7 people on a mission trip. That's excellence. That's abundance. Different congregations excel at different things. And my experience has been it is usually the result of a person or a group of people who, under the oversight of the eldership, decide to turn something mediocre into something excellent. At Eastside, we have examples of excellence, in my opinion. One example I would point to would be the ladies' ministry. And you say, well, why would you hold that up as an example of excellence? Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, it's organized. They have assigned responsibilities and defined roles. Women have the opportunity to lead a committee or to serve on one. Secondly, they have an agenda. They have a schedule, things they want to accomplish every year. And granted, this past year was hampered somewhat by COVID, but that wasn't their fault. They had an agenda. They just couldn't fully accomplish it. They have a robust communication network. It's based on a women's survey. People know what's going on. They know how to get involved, and they have an opportunity to get involved. There's a newsletter to edify one another. And that newsletter has contributors from all ages, including even our teens. That's excellence. They involve the women of the congregation. All women are encouraged to participate. They're also active. They're doing stuff. They have outings like horseback riding and service projects like the Bear Ministry and Hats for Newborn Babies and Craft Days and Ladies Prayer Breakfasts and Area-Wide Ladies Days. They're doing stuff. In short, they're using their talents and abilities that God has given them to impact this congregation and this community. And that's excellence. That's abundance. I think that's awesome. That's something I want to be a part of, except I'm not a lady. So I have two challenges for us this evening as we think about excellence, two things that I want you to kind of ponder for a moment, two things I want to encourage you today to do. Number one, as individual Christians, let's commit to excelling in our faith. If you've been using regular unleaded in your spiritual life, try a higher octane fuel. Up the energy level, the zeal, the passion. And do that tonight. Make a commitment to do that tonight. Let's excel in our love for one another. A love that is reflected not just in words, but in actions, James 1:22. I'm talking about an agape love. It's not a feeling, but a conscious decision to care for one another. And I would point to yesterday, those that were able to participate in the singing at Elmer and Wanda's home, that was agape love in action. That wasn't just saying, let's love one another and as some kind of a abstract idea. That was saying, let's go to someone's house who's elderly, who has meant a lot to this congregation, and let's gather around and let's sing to them. That's excellence, folks. That is agape love in action, and that's what we want to have abound more and more. Our attitude should be, I am a part of this church at Eastside. Thus, I have obligations to my fellow Christians. I can't just punch the clock 1 or 2 hours a week. I'm part of a fellowship. I'm part of a family. And I'm to love them with words and deeds to the point of overflowing abundance. Can we improve on that? Can we do a little bit better at that? That's what I'm asking tonight. Let's also abound in our knowledge of God and His will and our depth of insight. Let's have our Bible study overflow in its frequency and intensity. Daily Bible reading is good, and I hope you do that. But daily Bible studying and meditating and reflecting is a more excellent approach. And the more we do that, the more we're able to apply it to discern what is best. So as individual Christians, let's excel also in living pure, obedient, blameless lives. So that's the first thing. Let's excel as individual Christians. And then secondly, I want to encourage us tonight to excel as a congregation, to look for opportunities to excel. Let me ask it this way. What would it take for our current ministries to be described by an outside observer as excellent? And if we're not quite ready to make a particular ministry excellent, can we at least raise these ministries up a notch? If we're at a 3, can we take it to a 4? If we're at a 6, can we take it to a 7? If we're at an 8, can we up the excellence to maybe a 9 or a 10? Because you see, the first step in excelling is deciding to excel. It involves being unsatisfied with the status quo, the way that we've been doing things for quite a long time. we have to commit ourselves to excelling, to doing these ministries in a more effective way. Because unfortunately, if we're not growing, if we're not improving, if we're not abounding, we're probably contracting. You really, in ministry, you really don't stay in the same spot. You're either improving and growing or you're contracting. That's the sad reality. The other sad reality, I think, is that it's, frankly, it's easier to be mediocre. It's easier to not have to worry about inviting friends to church. It's easier not to teach a Bible class. It's easier not to lead a committee. It's easier to do things the way that we've always done them. It's easier to be mediocre, complacent, and just maintain the status quo. That's the easy approach. But isn't it more exciting to excel than to be mediocre? And it pleases God so much more. And your excitement tends to be infectious. I want to be a part of an excellent ministry, just like I enjoyed in my Air Force career being part of an excellent, passionate mission. Okay? We want to be a part of something that's passionate, that has excellence. So I want to encourage us tonight to do some brainstorming, some vision work on what it would take to make our individual ministries here at Eastside excellent if they're not already there. And as I mentioned, we have some that are already there. Let me put it this way. If there was a book that was going to be written called In Search of Excellence, and they were focused on churches, and they had chapters on benevolence and outreach and education and worship and missions and youth and seniors and visitation and buildings and grounds and newcomers orientation and involvement and other ministries that you might think of, what would it take for an Eastside ministry to be featured in that book? How could our blank ministry, you fill in the blank, impact this community like never before? What about these new Barnabas notes that we announced this morning, this encouragement ministry? What could we do with that ministry over the next 8 or 9 months that would make God smile and say, that was incredible. That was excellent. Well done, good and faithful servants. That's our goal for this ministry. It's not to keep ourselves busy. It is to be excellent in it and to impact people and to encourage people. How could we revolutionize a ministry so that when you move to another part of the country one day and attend another congregation, you say, let me tell you how we did Ministry X back at Eastside. I've never seen anything like it. Everyone was fired up about it and wanted to be involved. What would it take to get our ministries to that level? So let's do some brainstorming. Let's do some reimagining. And let me be clear, this is not just a challenge for our elders and our deacons or our preacher. That's not what this is about. A few men can't accomplish what I'm talking about tonight. It takes the entire congregation behind the effort, supplying the ideas and the zeal and the energy. And I'll give you an example of that. She's going to get on to me for mentioning her, but Sandra Hicks, wow, that lady is on fire for God. From my perspective, she is like the Energizer Bunny when it comes to ministry. She comes up with ideas, she has a passion for them, and if she's working something, if she comes up and has an idea and wants help with something, I want in, because I know it's going to get done well, there's going to be excellence to it, and it's going to have an impact. And she's just one example I could give. There are others in this congregation. But last time I checked, Sandra wasn't an elder or a deacon or a preacher. She was just a regular member like most of us in here tonight. So Paul concludes with our goal in Philippians 1, verse 11. We need to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We are filled, we're complete through Jesus Christ, our standard. Because of what he did, we're called upon to act, to work, and to excel in that work. Mediocre efforts yield mediocre results. That's true in work. That's true in schoolwork. That's true in athletics. It's true in marriage. And it's true in our spiritual lives. Mediocre efforts yield mediocre results. However, efforts that overflow, efforts that abound, usually bring results that are excellent. And I think that's our challenge. It's our challenge as individuals, and it's our challenge as a congregation to never be completely satisfied. Always try to serve God and please God in a more excellent way. I don't want to be the East Side that we were pre-COVID. People have talked about, we just want to get back to normal. I don't want to get back to normal. I don't want to be the East Side of 2019. Okay? I want us to become something better. Something more powerful. Something more excellent. Something that impacts this community like no congregation in this area has ever done. Okay? Let's be something better moving forward. Something even more excellent. And not try to become what we were 2 or 3 years ago. I don't want Eastside to be the sleepy congregation in East Maryville that no one's heard of, just biding our time until the Lord returns. That's not excellence, okay? We're doing great things here, and I want to encourage us to do even better things and to pursue excellence. I want God to use us to transform lives and to impact this community and this world like we never have before. I want to conclude tonight by telling you about my all-time favorite YouTube video. It's called Balance Beam. You can look it up. If you go to YouTube, you can search for Balance Beam. It's done by an author and a preacher named Francis Chan. He wrote a book called Crazy Love, which was very popular, and several other books. But in this little video clip, he asks the audience to pretend that they are a gymnast competing on the balance beam, like at the Olympics or at some big competition. So he's got a balance beam up there on the stage, and he crawls up on the balance beam, and then he lays down on it, and he tightly grips it with both hands, laying flat on the balance beam for 90 seconds. He just hangs on for dear life, and that's his Olympic balance beam routine. And then after 90 seconds, he very carefully steps down and raises his hands in victory, expecting thunderous applause from the crowd and perfect 10 scores from the panel of judges. And then he compares that to our faith lives. He says, too often we play it safe. We spend our lives tightly gripping the balance beam, afraid of taking any chances for God, of doing anything bold. We just kind of hang on to that beam for dear life. We settle for mediocrity. We settle for safe routines. And we never challenge ourselves to excel. And then, after a risk-free 90-second routine, we're going to dismount on Judgment Day and raise our hands to God, waiting for God to applaud our lackadaisical efforts. That's not what I want my life to be about. I don't want to play it safe. I don't want to have a routine in life where I just sort of play church and go halfway and then expect God to reward me. I want to be bold. I want us to be bold. I want us to take some risks, even if that occasionally means falling off the balance beam. At the end of my journey, at the end of our journey, I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thanks for giving it your all. Thanks for pursuing excellence. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's abound in the work of the Lord. Let's pursue excellence. And let's impact this community and this world like never before. Tonight we're going to sing an invitation song. If you are ready to become a Christian, we are happy to make that happen tonight. That would be our greatest joy to have someone become a Christian. If you're interested in becoming a Christian, but you have questions, you'd like to learn more, you'd like to study more, we can assist you and study with you and go through all of that with you in some detail. Or maybe you're here tonight and you just feel like that your faith life has been a little lackadaisical, a little bit of kind of going through the motions and has lacked that zeal and that energy and that passion, and you would like for us to pray for you and with you to try to get that zeal back. Or maybe you want to make that personal statement just sitting in your pew, but we're happy to pray with you and for you. So whatever your need is tonight, please come forward while together we stand and sing.